Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. This is a day that the Most High has made, and we come to rejoice. It is the seventh day, a day of rest, a day of worship. We truly come before Him to lift Him up. He's our Abba. He's holy. He's worthy of the praise. Let's go before our Father in prayer before we do anything else. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we love you. We thank you for the peace that we have, which is more valuable than any asset in this world. Peace comes from you. Peace comes through understanding of the statutes, laws, and commandments, which are a blueprint for our lives. I pray for my brothers and sisters spread out throughout the four corners of the earth, that they will be strengthened today and refreshed, that you will baptize them with your Ruach. It was King David that said, "Renew a right spirit within me and restore the joy of my salvation." Father, somebody's going through a trial right now. Somebody's going through a storm. Somebody's coming out of a storm. You know what we need before we even ask. One thing I know is that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or your seed begging bread. Be it restored unto them. Be it given unto them. May they be refreshed in you. We come against every foul spirit, and we stand in the authority that you've given us to combat these demons, and we cast them out in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Bless the prophets that preach throughout the four corners of the earth today. May they prophesy your word and that is to come. For what you're going to do, we're careful to give your son, our brother, all the praise. We ask these blessings in his name. And we give you all the praise. I thank you that we're overcomers, even these foul demon spirits up here in Northern California, and all of those sacrifices, their ceremonies. They have no victory. They can't trump over us. Thank you for the paradigm shift in the spirit as you prepare your people. All praises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be to the Most High. This is a day that the Most High has made, brothers and sisters. All praises belong unto Him. Welcome to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by At Last Ministries, House of Israel, Deliverance Assembly, Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio, also known as Babylon Talk Radio. They'll try to stop us, but they can't stop the Most High's word from going forth because He watches over His word to perform it. And we know that today we have the victory no matter what. It's a fixed fight. We already know who's going to win in the end. All praises to the Most High because Zion will prevail. Israel shall prevail. Jerusalem, we're coming home. Welcome to the end of Esau's world. Prepare yourself for the beginning of Jacob's reign with our Messiah, our brother, Yeshua HaMashiach. All praises be unto the Most High. Well, I pray that you're doing well out there in Babylon on the Shabbat. This is your brother, V. Torah, along with
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters.
Shabbat Shalom. It truly is a blessing to be giving Him praise and worship up here in Northern California, where all these bohemian sodomites are going forth. I thank the Most High for His grace and mercy, because I'm sure He wants to rain down fire and brimstone right now in Northern California, because all the leaders are centered over there in the redwoods, reaming each other and sacrificing human flesh and praising the satanic owl and the Baphomet and Shaitan himself, and planning all their strategies against Israel for the coming year. But that will work and none of that will prevail. And I thank him that we have grace and mercy that we can reside up here in Northern California and be okay. This world is a mess.
Hot mess.
And and a lot of the stuff that's going on. You know, I don't even want to take too much time to talk about this movie, The Planet of the Apes, but they're putting it in your face that they know what time it is.
That's right.
And they know that they're going to lose. That whole Planet of the Apes movie is about Israel whipping the apes with whips and got them in servitude and got them in camps, hanging them on trees and from crosses and telling them that it's the apocalypse. It's crazy. I tell you, it's crazy. It's crazy. So anyway, I don't want to spend much time on that. I'll probably talk about that in the coming week on one of our other lessons, Most High willing. Today is a day that we set aside for to deal with the statutes, laws, and commandments that were never done away with. They are a blueprint on how to live our lives and reverse the curses of Deuteronomy 28 chapter. We're trying to teach Israel that we must come back to our culture by coming back to the commandments. And our endeavor here at Almoida here on Social Change Act, storing the cultural identity of Black America, which is Hebrew Israel, one commandment at a time, one mind at a time, one day at a time. We want to restore our culture, and our culture is within these scriptures because we are the people of the book. Understand that we are the people of the book, and it's emphatic that we get away from paganism, false religions, and understand that this is not a religion. This is not spirituality. This is our culture and lifting up the one true God, Hayah, all praises be to the Most High, and his son, Shah HaMashiach. And we do that by letting people know that they've been taught lies on Sunday morning by Pastor Porkchop. We want to repeal the lies and bring you into the truth. One precept at a time. All praises to the Most High. Okay. So with that being said, we're going to move forward today. Not going to be long today. So I'm going to have Sister Tamar come with the announcements and early.
First, I want to apologize this week. On Tuesday, the Heart of a Hebrew Woman did not broadcast, and that's because Sister Tamar was had allergies. It was sick, and didn't want to get on the air sounding like a man, like my husband said. But anyway, feeling much better, using the herbs. Only went in to see the white coat to check my lungs and make sure everything was moving. But no pharmacia. All the herbs that I state and give you guys to use have helped me. I still have a lingering cough. But all in all is doing well. Come in from vacation, come back, and you get sick. I don't know if the climate or whatever. But all praises to the Most High that Most High willing this Tuesday, I will be back on air with a cleared voice and with the topic for the ladies to gear into. So we're going to go into the herb of the day, and we're also going to do an oil. As well, last broadcast, if you listened, I said we were going to start doing the oils. But sometimes when you go into, like, your Whole Foods or your Sprouts, you'll see vitamins, and then you'll see areas where they have oils and soaps and things like that. And so we'll also touch briefly on that. Last week it was coconut oil we touched on. And this week we're going to touch on another oil with an herb. So our first herb is mustard seed. And in my research, this week, because I was suffering with allergies, cough, cold, things like that, I came across mustard seed because, as I stated, I have this prolonged cough, and that's what mustard seed is for. It has been used for treatment of cough with profuse phlegm, tuberculosis, bronchitis, things like that, and it's called mustard seed. The seed acts as a mild laxative and a blood purifier. It has also, like I said, been used to help with lung congestion, sprains, spasms, and colds. So if you're suffering with allergies, colds, cough, a prolonged cough that won't go away because of a recent cold or something like that, mustard seed. And what you want to do, I know we talk about mustard as being mustard powder for when we're sick.
Powder comes from the seed.
Right.
Crush it.
Correct. So that same mustard powder we talk about as far as like to help with digestive issues, it will also help with
diarrhea, salmonella,
and it will also help with coughs and colds. So definitely grab some mustard. Always keep that handy. You can mix that powder and take it by itself. It's going to be horrible. Drink some water with it, or you can mix it in a tea with lemon, honey, things that are soothing to your throat. Right, and it's at the local supermarket, so Safeway, Kroger's, whatever's in your area. Go into the spice aisle, and you'll also see the seed as well. So seed and powder, both are in your spice aisle. And also, if you're suffering with the congestion, the basil leaf, that's what helped me the most. We picked up a basil plant, and as soon as it got in my car, I started chewing on the leaves to kind of release that congestion, and it did help. I'm telling you, it felt 100% better.
Basil, for pneumonia, it will actually cure pneumonia.
Right, basil leaves. So if you can get a basil plant at one of your natural whole food stores or, you know, anywhere, you find some basil, fresh basil, not the one in the jar down your spice aisle, the fresh basil that you want. So now this week, the oil we're going to talk about is flaxseed oil. Flaxseed oil has amino acids, it has calcium, essential fatty acids, iron, omega-3s, sulfur, potassium, zinc, vitamins B1, B2, B3, B5, and E. flaxseed helps with promote strong bones, nails, and teeth, as well as a healthy skin. It is also used for high cholesterol, heart disease, high blood pressure, menopause, infertility, skin problems, constipation, blood sugar, and hemorrhoids. So flaxseed is a very good oil you can use. It also comes in a package at your grocery stores, and you can mix that with your oatmeal and things like that. So, again, that's flaxseed oil. Going to the announcements. Upcoming months, we will be having local service Shabbat classes with our brothers here in the area, and we'll give you those dates coming up as they as we find place and agree upon a time to meet. We'll be putting that on the broadcast. We also will be celebrating the next High Holy Day, the Feast of Trumpets. That'll be on September 16th. We'll be down in the Santa Clara, Sunnyvale area with our brother D. We'll have more information about that, most high willing, as the month comes. And then I just want to briefly go over the broadcast this week. Most high willing, we'll have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific time. On Wednesday, we have Inspirational Wednesday with Brother D. Thursday is usually Straight No Chaser. And then Friday is our preparation, getting ready for, again, a Shabbat lesson on Saturday. So this is upcoming events, Herb of the Day, and weekly broadcast. That's that. I am turning over to my...
All right, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome back. Great announcements. Looking forward to that. And we will be having baptismal service up here in Northern California. Got the folks that want to get baptized, so contact us, reach out to us, leave an email. If you're up here in the Bay Area, Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area, you want to get baptized. Okay, I want to say Shabbat Shalom to a couple of brothers that's joining us today, too. Shabbat Shalom, Brother Demetrius, how are you?
Doing fine. Shabbat Shalom. I praise to the Most High. I'm kind of hearing your harpful remarks horn every now and then, beeping.
I can see.
But, like I said, all praise to the Most High. And Sister Tamash, you did say September 16th, right?
September 16th will be down your way. You want to go ahead and talk about the address right now?
Well, actually, the address is 240 Red Oak Drive in Sunnyvale, of course, here in California. Like I said, we're gonna put on we're gonna have a good feast there and do some fellowshipping and enjoy each other's company and get into the word. We're not looking forward to it.
Yes, I am too, brother. And you know, we'll probably be getting together. I'm quite sure before then, but I just wanted to let the people know the address and where you're located. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to my brother Eric up in Chicago, Chi-Town. Shabbat Shalom, Eric.
Shabbat Shalom.
How you getting along?
Pretty good, pretty good. Glad to be on today.
Yeah, it's good to have you brothers joining us today. Good to have you brothers joining. I want you to join me on this portion, the two of you, as we talk about the law today. Before I get into the lesson, I wanted y'all to join me. We know every Shabbat our people Israel would go to the synagogue to hear the reading of the law. What I want to focus in on was the Sabbath and Shabbat, and we were having a conversation about the family and about men earlier before the broadcast, and the importance of Sabbath. I posted on my Facebook page this week about how back in 1954, they used to study our people and our buying habits because we were spending $3 billion a year back then in just consumer goods. That number has quadrupled since then. But they talked about how our spending habits were and how we like the finer things of life, even though we don't have a pot to piss in. Now, I say all that to say that we really could control this economy if we would keep the Sabbath and learn how to pull out of the market. Now, there's some scriptures I want to read, and then I'm going to open up the conversation, some dialogue. And that was Nehemiah 10 and 31. And Nehemiah 10 and 31 talks about how he said, and if the people of the land bring any ware and any victuals on the Sabbath day to sell to you, that we would not buy from them on the Sabbath and on the holy day or any other holy day, not to buy anything from the public. And hold on, let's see. And then Nehemiah 13 and 15 was pretty much the same thing. Give me 1 second. Listen to this in Nehemiah 13 and 15. In those days saw I in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves, and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which bought fish and all kinds of ware, and sold it on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah in Jerusalem. Nehemiah said in the 17th verse, I contended with the nobles of Judah and said unto them, what evil thing is this that you do and you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our Yah bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet you bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not open till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants sat at the gates that there should be no burden be brought in on the Sabbath. So the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged with Jerusalem once or twice, defied against them and said unto them, why are you lodging about the walls? If you do sin again, I'm going to lay hands on you. I love Nehemiah for that. He said, do it again. Buy something on the Sabbath, and I'm going to lay hands on you. And from that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves and that they should keep the gates and sanctify themselves on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah was a man who rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the walls,
It was a part of 1st and 2nd Ezra's. Matter of fact, they built Nehemiah a pulpit made out of wood so he could read the laws to the people. But he wasn't playing about this Sabbath. That was the main one. He told the people, y'all stop profaning the Sabbath and bringing curses on our people and our community by going out buying from these other nations that keep coming around here trying to sell to y'all to get you to break the Sabbath, to break the curses. That's the portion of the law. So I'm going to open up the phone lines, and Brother Eric, Brother D, any one of y'all want to go ahead and speak?
Well, actually, just like you're saying, they know that our people spend money, and you look at all of the foreign nations that come into the black neighborhood, and they don't like us, but they like our money, and they know we spend money. And just like you're saying, that we can get ourselves together so that we can control our own destiny, but you know, it's just not happening. And it's the same, actually.
Yeah, I was, it's just profound how Nehemiah had to put some structure back in the community and how the people just would constantly come in and still trying to keep getting us to profane the Sabbath. I don't think we realize the seriousness of profaning the Sabbath and what we're doing to ourselves and adding to the curse. Not to stray away from the Shabbat, the Sabbath, and the laws, but like you were saying, Brother Eric, about our men, you know, and us taking a stand so that we can help our families. And one of the stances we need to take is that we need to make this a holy day and understand that we need to shut it down come Friday evening leading to the Shabbat. That's a time that a man should be teaching his family, have them in the house and pray with them, instead of setting it off for
right.
the weekend. But go ahead and elaborate on what you were saying.
Yeah, I was just saying that, you know, I believe all of this goes hand in hand, because for the last couple of weeks I've been doing a lot of research on real estate that's been going on here in Chicago. And I noticed in Chicago, gentrification has been going on for the past 20, 30 years. And I've just been online just looking at the property. And when they build houses here in Chicago, in the city, these houses be starting at $300,000 and $400,000. I mean, they're almost to $1 million now. And I believe that that's just the Most High's way of trying to get us to understand that we've been given so much of our money to this world, to the point where these real estate companies are coming in and they gentrifying us out of our own communities. I mean, we've been giving money to the Christian churches, spending money on clothes and shoes. So the Most High, he always has a way of using the other nations to get our attention because they control the resources. So I believe in some cases, a lot of our people are starting to see, okay, well, you know, if I can't afford this rent and I can't afford this condominium or this house, something is wrong, something is going on somewhere. So I just really believe slowly but surely our people are beginning to see and they beginning to wake up, because if you can't afford to pay for a condominium in Chicago and you can't afford the rent, then you know, where are you and your family going to go? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've just been noticing that for the past few weeks just from doing research. But secondly, our brothers, we have to begin to inhibit the spirit of Christ so that we can lead our women and our children, you know, the right way, because this world has given our black men the idea of a man, and that idea has not worked for us. And it has allowed us to mistreat our women a certain way, because this world has given us their culture instead of, you know, the spirit of Christ. And that's why the Most High had to send Christ in the flesh in order to show the black man how he's supposed to conduct himself on earth, you know, through the Spirit of the Most High. So, yeah. But that was all I wanted to say, you know.
But just like you were mentioning.
Go ahead, Brother D.
Okay, just like you were mentioning earlier, Brother Eric, you know, men and women are pointing fingers at each other, and, you know, this one's doing that and that. So instead of us coming together, and you got a lot of brothers, a lot of sisters out there that are really focusing in on that and just going back, going hard against each other, you know, pointing out all the faults instead of, you know, trying to uplift each other.
Right.
And that,
yeah.
And it's just destroying our community.
Yeah, it is.
And you're right about the gentrification, because Brother V can attest to this also. You know, it's getting crazy to rent here in California, at least Northern California. You know, you look at a one-bedroom apartment costs you over $2,000 a month. And matter of fact,
yep.
The funny thing is, one guy was renting out a tent in his backyard for $1,000 a month.
I'm telling you, because
I
pay rent. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to tell you, what's happening with gentrification, it's been happening for years, but even more so now, it's stepped up its pace. And I'm going to tell you pretty much bottom line what's going on. Esau and these Edomites are panicking. This is a last-ditch effort to run Israel up out of their communities because they know that they're coming to the end of their time. So this is a land grab out of panic because they can sense, as well as we can sense, that the Most High is on his way back and our brother Yeshua HaMashiach, the Shah, is on his way back. We can sense it. We can sense that we're getting
right.
ready to go home to the wilderness. Okay? And all of creation is groaning and moaning for the return of the Son of the Most High. So they can also sense that recompense is on the way. So there's a land grab, and they're trying to enjoy their kingdom as much as possible because this gentrification is happening all over the United States.
Yeah, it is.
Now, if I were to go back to the book of Nehemiah as I was reading, Nehemiah, when he started getting down on the Sabbath, telling people stop profaning the Sabbath, that was after he rebuilt the walls, restored the kingdom, rebuilt the temple, and he told the people, okay, wait a minute, why are y'all still profaning the Sabbath and bringing curses on us? So the thing is that I don't even think we should buy into the American dream and still think we need to have our pie in the sky, go get our house and do all that. We should be preparing ourselves to go home, and the best way to do that is by keeping this Shabbat, keeping the holy days, keeping the commandments, and that's what's going to change our communities and our families and our men. And so if you could actually get a man to not take his family to the movies on Friday night at 9 o'clock, but bring them in the house and pray and read the word and celebrate, stay on lockdown until Saturday night, you don't think, man, we would see like a revival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I agree.
But, you know, back to the gentrification. It is happening everywhere. Like Brother D said up here, one bedroom for $2,000, $2,500. Families can barely live. I'll tell you this right now. Hebrews out there listening to me. If you're not keeping these commandments, you're not going to make it. Because the just shall live by faith. It's going to take
right.
the Most High
thank
to sustain
you.
Us in this hour. The cost
hey,
of living is getting to go
Father.
Up.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. All praise.
And if you don't stay immersed in prayer, fasting, and these commandments, no, you're not going to make it. You're going to be in the soup line. You're going to be homeless. You're going to sleep under the freeway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? You said something, brother, that ignited my spirit. That encouraged me. You said that the just shall live by faith. That's key.
That's key.
That's
key, brother.
That's what it's going. That's what it's going to take to make it. That's what it's going to take to make it. Is but you got it by faith, and like you said, following these commandments. and being obedient, right. You know.
Because there's
and allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Those two scriptures go hand in hand. The just shall live by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please the Most High.
Right.
So you're not even pleasing him if you're not stepping out on faith. So, I mean, everything we do has to be by faith. We go day by day around here, and we don't worry about tomorrow. That's called fear and anxiety, you know?
No, the only thing we should be fearing is the Most High. That's how we please him.
And you brothers, so how do you feel about that profaning the Sabbath as Nehemiah was talking about?
Well, as you know, every time the Sabbath comes, all kind of things come up and try and want to take you out of what you're supposed to be doing on the Sabbath. You know, and we're not at a time of captivity, and we need to be cognizant of that, recognize that, and do what we can to make sure that we're staying true to the Sabbath, which is one, you know, it's a very important commandment.
Yeah, these laws have never been done away with, and that's the key. That's the main thing we have to remember, is that the law. Don't let the Hebrews that haven't woke up yet, Israel that's still asleep, don't let them get you to break these laws and statutes and commandments. I was with somebody the other day eating some seafood soup with all kind of clams and everything in there. Tell me, go and take a little spoon. It ain't going to hurt you. You know it won't. It won't bother you. Go and dip your finger in there. You know you want to taste it. I know you're scared you might taste it and won't want to put it down. Look at here. Let me tell you. This thing is real to me. I'm not breaking these commandments. And I don't miss any of that. I don't miss no crab, lobster, and shrimp. And, you know, the amazing thing is that the Ruach took that taste away, you know, completely took that taste away. Don't even have a desire for it. But they keep thinking that we're going to break these commandments. We're not breaking these laws and commandments. This ain't no weekend thing. This ain't no one-day thing. This ain't no joke. This is our lives. This is our culture. And we're trying to restore the culture of our people.
You're right. It did. Right. It took that craving from me because even with pork or whatnot, you know, we all grew up with that, eating this pork or whatnot. But when I made that decision that, okay, you have to do everything right, I had no craving for that. The Most High helped with that so that I didn't have to, you know, worry about flipping and going back and eating some of that stuff, haven't tasted any of it, and don't plan on doing that. Got to keep these commandments.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and one other thing, I know, brother, that, you know, we're spending our money and giving our money to the church, and the church is turning around, sending it over to the synagogue of state because they've got
That's
the whole
right.
world. I was talking to a guy the other day, trying to tell me about all the, you know, the things that those Jews went through, and I pretty much was trying to tell him. I said, you know, you need to actually read. I said because, you know, a lot of that story has been fabricated. But you know, he's just like the rest of the world. You know, they still believe that they're God's chosen people, and they've had all these things happen to them. But you know, they're the synagogue state.
Right. But
right.
And that's where a lot of the money from the churches are going to, and not to mention the money that the government's sending them.
Right, right. Yeah, because when I first found out who I was, I used to ask myself. I said, "Well, wait a minute." Well, no. Before I found out who I was, me and my wife, we would go to the synagogue because we thought they were the people, right? So I used to wonder to myself, I said, wait a minute. I said, if they the people, how come they don't give nobody no money? That's what I was thinking to myself. Like, how come they don't never share You know, you understand what I'm saying, y'all? Like, yeah. they saying they're the Jew, but they don't offer nobody no money or say, hey, you can come to this bank and get a free loan. You got to have a credit score and all this stuff. That's what I used to always think in my mind. Like, okay, they the people, but they're not sharing anything with nobody. And so that was the same thing that I used to, that was the same thing that I used to wonder as a little kid in the Christian church. My mother was a diehard believer. Well, she's still alive. She still is a diehard believer that they are God's people. Because when I was a kid, whenever we would see something on TV about Steven Spielberg or anybody that's Jewish that's in the top echelon of this world, my mother would always say, see, the Lord promised he would bless them. Look at how much money Steven Spielberg had made on that movie. And so I was thinking, well, man, like, I feel you know what I'm saying? Like, if they say, oh, Steven Spielberg, E.T. made $3 billion, and my mother would be like, oh, yeah, God promised he would bless them. And so, but then I was thinking, well, we doing all this shouting, all this speaking in tongues, all this praise in church. I'm like, man, where our money at? That's what I used to wonder. Like, we, you know, the pastor was like, come on, just give God some praise, and you're going to work it out. And then, but wait a minute, that's not with Steven Spielberg at. I mean, you know, so I couldn't figure it out, but I praise the Most High for bringing me into the truth. And so now I see, you know, this is, we've been hoodwinked for a long time, you know, so.
Yeah, you're opening my eyes on that too, because I haven't thought about that, you know, who are they blessing? Because if they're living off of this blessed Israel, and then you'll be blessed, but they're not, Israel, but the rest of the world doesn't know that or refuse
right.
to believe them. Different.
Right. Satan got, the Bible says that in Revelation 12, it says that Satan has deceived the whole world. So you got all of these people going to church, giving all this money, and then they're being taught that the Jewish people are God's people. It's crazy how Satan got this. And then at the fiscal year, everybody in America is giving what Israel, they get what, $2-3 billion a year from America?
Exactly.
Like, they're getting all this money, but then people don't realize that that's loan sharking, because they created loan sharking. You know, so all these universities and churches and all of these affiliates, they have to figure out what their budget going to be, because they know they have to give them the money at the end of the year. So they got to get a cut of every, and that's loan sharking, because they're the ones that created loan sharking and what they call skimming off the top and all of that type of stuff. So it's, you know, it's crazy, man.
Exactly.
Deuteronomy 28:45-46. This is how we know, and this is how we kill all that conversation about Finkelstein and Epstein and Goldberg being the people. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of thy Elohim, the Most High, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. Verse 46, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. So that's filled.
Right.
Yeah, they got all that money, but they not under the curses and never been under the curses. Been lying all this time. But who are under the curses and constantly being pursued, shot down in the street? It's because of our people not keeping the commandments.
Right. Well, a lot of people, they don't study so that they can be approved. Because if you really look at that, you look at how these people, they're running everything. You know, y'all's people are under curses. We're not supposed to be running everything. And we're not running everything, but they are. And they're, like, I mean, just by looking at what they're doing and looking at what's happening to us, it's clear. It's clear who the chosen are.
Mm-hmm.
right. That's us. That's our people. So we got to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, keeping these laws. Well, brothers, I'm going to get ready to go into the lesson. Y'all want to say something to the listening audience before I take this break?
I'm good, brother.
All right. Good talking to you, brother. Shabbat shalom. We're going to take a quick break and then come back with the lesson. Israel, what time is
it? Okay.
This is truth music, the truth movement.
Yo, we've been a part of the biggest conspiracy the planet has ever known, man. You ever wonder why everybody seems to hate us? Everywhere we go, seems like everybody hate us. The world is against us. We gonna bring y'all some light, you know what I mean? Check it out.
It's been a long time, don't be waking up so many lies.
Northern California, which we'll be with on the Feast of Trumpets, and Brother Eric up in Chi-Town. I hadn't heard from that brother in a while. Good to talk to that brother. And we was just breaking down the book of Nehemiah, where Brother Nehemiah had rebuilt the walls, but he was letting them other nations know about y'all coming around here on the Sabbath trying to sell things. I'll lay hands on you. And we're going to have to get that way about our people, about our people breaking the Shabbat. He said, how dare you bring curses upon our people? After we got to this point, tear it off. Let's rebuild our nation and our community by keeping our money that the Most High gave us to ourselves on the Shabbat. And then after the Shabbat, let's pour into our community. All praises to the Most High. I'm going to move into the lesson right now, and I'm going to go into another series from time to time called Israel, what time is it? And it's more of a prophetic series, prophetically establishing what is happening during this paradigm shift that's taking place in the Ruach HaKodesh. Many of you are probably starting to have very, very distinct dreams that are very colorful. You're remembering them. Many of you are starting to see visions and get ideas. The Most High is preparing us for something. And if we could stop looking at the distractions called Donald Trump, politics, the news, reality shows, and tune into the spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, we'd get clarity
as to the time. Let me explain that to you. As to the time, the prophets, he does nothing unless he reveals it first to his prophets, those that preach. So those of you that have certain gifts, he's going to reveal these things to you. Scripture said it and made it clear. And then he said your daughters and your sons would prophesy. So these are the people he's going to give you dreams and visions as to the preparation. Now understand this as well. He will bring us out and give us divine guidance as he gave Abraham, our father. Abraham said, where am I going? He said, to a place I'll show you. Just move, and I'll guide you. Lot, he told Lot to go out and don't look back. The problem is many of us do look back. So we need to understand that if you look at the stories in the Word, that prophetically and divinely through the Spirit, he's always led us and guide us. And I tell you, I put such a high value on having a relationship with the Father and having wisdom and the Ruach in my life, because it will speak to you before an event transpires. It's up to you to know that and to understand that. And the only way you're going to understand that, this scripture just popped up in my spirit. I believe it's Hebrews 5 and 14. Let me read this to you. This is how you're going to understand. That is it. All praises to the Most High. See, that's the rule. This is what I'm talking about right now. As I speak to you, the Ruach gives me a spirit, a confirmation through his spirit of a precept to confirm this to you. And Hebrews 5 and 14 says that, I'm going to start at 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Milk is the same, the people that have the same conversations about the same precepts all the time and argue the same precepts, but don't go on to meatier things because you're not studying to show yourself approved. What you're doing is sitting at home watching YouTube videos and watching everybody's lesson, but you won't open up a book, a peel back a piece of paper, and study, because once you start researching, you can't stop. 14 says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Now listen to this. Let me back up. By reason of use of what you've studied, what you learned, you put it to use. And by putting it to use, you exercise your senses. And when you begin to exercise, and in the Greek, exercise is gymnasu, which is gymnasium, you put it to work. When you exercise, you learn how to discern good and evil. So by using it and through experience of the word you learn, by putting it to use, you're actually exercising the ability of discernment to know what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's evil. And when you build up that spiritual muscle, you begin to know when the Most High is speaking to you and what he's telling you to do, and you obey it. I was just kidding with my wife a few seconds ago. I said, we don't even need no telephone. I'm thinking about my son 20 minutes ago and praying for him in the spirit, and he sends me a text message and says, God is showing me the way. I and my wife pick up the phone to call each other, and we call each other at the same time because already in the spirit we're connected. These things, don't take these things for granted. Don't think these things are coincidence. Coincidence shouldn't even be in the dictionary, okay? Especially when it comes to Hebrew. There's no coincidence. The spirit has us connected because we're worshiping the same God. We have the same Ruach. When I begin to intercede for you and think about you, it's because the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, has dropped you in my mind, and he's telling me to pray for you. I may not know what you're going through, but he's asking me to intercede for you so that the angels can move on your behalf. That's what intercessory prayer is. You've got the nerve to think that when you think about somebody, it was you. No, it wasn't you. It was the Most High that inspired you to pray, because prayer is what begins to change things and move things in the atmosphere. I got to give you another scripture. I always talk about Daniel, how when he prayed, the angel told him the answer came. But as you continued to pray and fast, I had to come through the demons that were controlling that city, and I had to get help from other angels just to get the answer to you. See, the Most High
moves through us praying for one another. So my point is, going back to what I was saying, is that prophetically he's going to reveal to his people what he's getting ready to do in the earth. So that's why I say, Israel, what time is it? So if you don't understand what's going on, it's because you're watching CNN. You're watching Trump. You're watching the news. You're watching Israelites get shot down in the street who probably not keeping the commandments, breaking the laws, which means these curses are going to be on them anyway. You keeping the commandments are reversing the curses. Your kids, your children, your family being protected because you're staying in the house on Friday evening all the way up till Saturday evening. You're covering them by keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, which are like having a around you. It's like being like Job. Hashatan can't touch you unless the Most High gives him permission. Understand this. You don't even know the value of keeping the Sabbath, the laws, commandments. That's why Nehemiah was so serious, like, come around here again, sell that fish. I'm going to lay hands on you. Messing up my people, putting these curses on us. He made it clear that when they begin to break the commandments, the curses come upon us. But when you begin to keep the commandments, the holy days and the Sabbath, and ain't none of you Negroes got it right. I'm sick. It's about four or five of y'all say, I got the right day. Go back to the book of Jubilees. Oh, was it Jasher? Is it Jasher? It's Jubilees. The book of Jubilees, I believe the sixth chapter, that tells us that no man would have the correct or exact day until we get back in the wilderness. So, but nevertheless, my point is, prophetically, we want to understand what time it is. And if you're fasting, praying, and keeping the commandments, he's going to start speaking to you in dreams and revelations and visions. And he's going to be preparing you to not only be autonomous, able to take care of yourself, your family, your community that are keeping the commandments, but you're going to be able to navigate the terrain of what's coming on the earth. I can care less about their internment camps. Talked about that in the eighth Planet of the Apes movie, too, put them in an internment camp. You're going to be able to navigate through the terrain when they start chipping people because it's going to be a cashless society and the economy's going to implode. You're going to be able to navigate through the terrain when you realize that these people hate you. Do you sense the racial tension? I know you do. The young man that got killed over there in Greece, going over there to try to promote his T-shirt line and his clothing line. You young men, be careful with these clothing lines. These other nations don't like, they envy you. You a Hebrew Israelite. You're the Most High's chosen people. They envy you. Okay? He said the other nations are nothing but spittle to him. He created the other nations to serve them, fallen gods, the fish, trees, air. He set aside a people to worship him only and to be his people, and that is us, the people of the book, the Hebrew Israelites. The scripture said, nation shall rise against nation. And we are at the apex of seeing that come into full fruition. They despise you. Could you imagine the one true God saying that the calling you spit? Could you imagine the one true God saying, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate him? Do you realize the animosity they have in them? I mean, if I was them, I'd just get on the team and be like, yes, I'm nothing, but I'm here to support you all and serve you. I hope he has mercy on me. Yes, you are the people. But most of them want to enjoy their time and enjoy their kingdom, which is why we're seeing gentrification. They're trying to get as much out of this kingdom as they can get because when they die, that's it and that's all. That's it and that's all. People, do you understand that Yeshua HaMashiach came here only for the lost tribes of Israel, for the house of Israel, for the Hebrews? He didn't come here for them Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't come into this thing until the book of Acts when we fell and still didn't want to do right. He gave them an opportunity because he wanted to make us jealous as we made him jealous by serving other gods and trying to be like other nations. Him dying on a tree was for us and us only. Yes, sir. So today in understanding what time it is, I want you to see something, and we're going to look at something in the beginning of this series. I'm going to go to the book of Baruch. And in the book of Baruch, you'll find that in the Apocrypha.
I heard one preacher pastor say that the book of Baruch is in the Apocrypha, which isn't the scriptures of the Most High, but it's historical content. Well, I'm going to correct him right now. It is scripture, not only because it was in the 1611 Bible, but 2 Timothy 3:16 said that all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Most High and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction that the man of Hayah would be thoroughly furnished, okay, and would be prepared that he could deal with all these situations. Not only that, is that when Timothy wrote that, they were only reading Torah and Tanakh. Not only that, the book of Jude, which is in the New Covenant, is solely about the book of Enoch. And Yeshaya made comment about the book of Enoch. So you need to understand that this is all scripture. Furthermore, we don't call things scripture because the Nicene Church Council, which chose these 66 books, tells us what is scripture. No, we say it's scripture in the Apocrypha because, give me 1 second, people. It's scripture in the Apocrypha as well because you have to understand what they're saying is scripture. No, the Bible and the Torah, the Tanakh, and the Apocrypha is a compilation of scrolls and books about the sojourn of our people. It's our Hebrew history book. So it's all good. It's all inspired. It's all a roadmap. It's all a blueprint. Don't let these other nations play that mind trick on you and get you to separate our scrolls and our history into different compartments and books and say one is inspired and one is not and one is wrong and one is erroneous. That's how they throw us off from understanding who we are as the people. So don't even fall into that trick, that ploy. So I'm going to go, I'm going to go into the book of Baruch, second chapter, and I'm going to start at the 30th verse. It says, "For I knew that they would not hear me, because it is a stiff-necked people. But in the land of their captivities, they shall remember themselves." This is why they want you to think that this is not an inspired book, because that scripture right there made it clear that while we were captive, we would begin to wake up. In the land of our captivities throughout the four corners of the earth, we are waking up. All praises to the Most High for everybody scratching their head saying, what the hell is going on? Something is not right here. I'm loving the fact of what's happening with Kendrick Lamar, the rapper, because he's reaching a generation you can't reach, which is super holy self. I love what's happening with Colin Kaepernick. He may not be totally on the right path, but he's questioning the status quo, walking away from money in the NFL and helping people. He's in Ghana. He's in Israel. Not just him. All kind of people are awake if they want to be awake. You know, pretty much only ones that are woke is some of these stubborn senior citizens who don't want to wake up. But we give the Most High praises for anybody above 50 that's waking up in this hour that's not dead set on the old way and says it has to be this way. I go to church on Sunday and that's it and that's all. No. All praises to a senior citizen in his 70s that can wake up and say, I'm in the truth. That's nothing but the Ruach HaKadosh for a set time bringing somebody into the knowledge of the truth. This book of Baruch is prophetic for a remote generation, just like the book of Enoch was written for a remote generation, that generation being us. This book of Baruch said that we would begin to wake up in our captivity. Can these bones live again? Yes, sir. That's what's happening. Verse 31 says, Baruch 2 and 31, "And shall know that I am," which is Ahayah, "the Elohim, their power, the Most High, for I will give them a heart and ears to hear." And I'm glad he said heart and ears. Notice there's a difference. That heart representing the spirit, where your soul is hungry and thirsty for the knowledge to hear it and to wake up and to learn more. And ears, not just itching ears, but ears that want to understand the knowledge of the truth. What time is it? We're in that time where there's not just an awakening, But you ever had somebody shake you awake? First there's the alarm clock. Then somebody next to you shakes you. We're in this period where people are being shaken with your dreams and with the things that are so blatant in front of you. You can't even watch a TV show without seeing right through it if you're awoke. Can't even watch a movie. Can't hear a song. You can see right through Esau's lies. This is why he's panicking. He wants everybody to think that we're in the gold mine because of the tech boom and creating apps and technology and man worshiping himself. Nah, he's racing before the sons of men completely wake up because they are afraid. I think you would be afraid if you were another nation and you knew that these Hebrew Israelites, when their brother comes back, Yeshua HaMashiach, that they're going to be transformed and changed and be just like him. We're talking superhuman strength, people, just like our brothers of 12 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and Issachar, and all of them had, and the mighty men of valor that worked with King David. These men would slay lions and bears with their bare hands. The Most High said, when I come, they shall see me as I am, and they shall be changed. The 144,000 are going to be transformed. They'll be the leaders of this earth. But the supernatural strength that they're going to take on is what you pay $15 and a box of popcorn and Pepsi to go see, and you call them Marvel's superhuman universe, superheroes. Yeah, that's they're putting in your face other nations being superheroes, which is actually what's going to transpire with the 144,000. Because Joel, the second chapter, tells us, and the third chapter, that they'll be climbing deep into the taverns of their fallout shelters and climbing through windows, and we're going to be destroying these other nations and their weapons and their artillery and their planes and their missiles and their bullets. None of these things will harm the leaders of the Hebrew Israelites that will prepare us for marching into the kingdom along with our brother, the Shah HaMashiach. Baruch 2:32, and they shall praise me in the land of their captivity and think upon my name. Are we not doing that right now? That's right. We are in various areas of the four corners of the earth giving the Most High praise, and we have found out what his name is. I don't care if some of y'all saying Ahaya, Yah, Yahabashah. Look, his name is Yah, and if you could say, hey, Yah, but you know what he said? When I return, I will cause them to praise me with one consent because I will have a new name, and I'm going to change your name when I come back, and we will go into the wilderness. You know what his name is. We know who he is, and we praise him in the midst of our captivity. Verse 33, he says, and return from their stiff neck and from their wicked deeds, for they shall remember the way of their fathers, which sinned before the Most High. That's what we're doing right now, is we're restoring the culture and returning back to the way of the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and praising the Most High in the capacity instead in which he told us to praise him before we go into the land. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't get caught up in the foolishness of these camps fighting and name fighting and all that stuff. Recognize, put emphasis on the most important thing. He woke you up. You're not caught up in religion and false Christianity and some Caucasian Jesus. You woke up. You know who you are. And you know how important these commandments are. And you're keeping the Sabbath, something they never wanted you to do, because what is it doing? It's bringing you back to the one true God, the Most High power. Verse 34, and I will bring them again into the land which I promised with an oath unto their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they shall be lords of it, and I will increase them, and they shall not be diminished, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them to be their God, and they shall be my people, and I will no more drive my people out of Israel, out of the land that I gave them. He's going to keep the covenant. Psalms 83 tells us that they've been confederate against us, and they wanted the name of Israel to be no more. But if us in these lands right now will go back
to 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is, let me read it to you. See, when we wake up in the land, we can't just wake up and that be enough and be distracted and listen to a video. 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray. That's what we must do. Are you praying? How many of you pray? Has anybody prayed? When's the last time you prayed for a whole hour? Right. I bet you can watch TV for 3 hours. Right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, find humility, pray, seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins, and I will begin to heal their land. Our land is Israel. He's going to prepare it and heal it to return us and restore us. But we have things to do in the midst and time of the awakening. So, yes, we're awakening in our captivity, as Baruch said, but our assignment as we've awakened is 2 Chronicles 7:14. They've been busy with Psalms 83, trying to make our name no more and make us nothing and make us think that we don't exist and talk about the lost tribes of Israel. Ain't nothing lost. We now know who they are and where they are. We now know that those Ashkenazis over there in our land are not the people, and now they're confessing that they're not the people. They don't believe in the Messiah. They said he's boiling in excrement. They read the Talmud. And cursed be you Hebrew Israelites that are trying to be like them fake Jewish people and learn their language that was created by Eliezer ben Yehuda, which is mixed with German and everything else. That's Yiddish. Because they got you reading the Talmud, and the Talmud is a cursed book. They don't even believe in the Messiah. What you want to be like them for, wearing that fake Star David, which is the star Remphan, and it's a satanic hexagram. Ain't no Star David. David didn't wear no star. Israel. So as we're awakening, if my people that are called by my name, we're a called out people. We're his people. When the slaves came in on the ships, all of them had Yah somewhere in their name. That's right. Just like you say, aha, Yah. If you want to say aha, Yah, guess what? Yah's in there. You want to just say Yah? Okay, Yah. So, but listen, all of the names of the slaves that came on the slave ships, all of them had the name Yah in there. We weren't no savages. We didn't have on just cloths. No. The Muslims, the Arabs, and the Hamites sold us because we were a very knowledgeable, skilled, organized community of people. We were carpenters. We had trades. We were doctors. We were dentists. We were surgeons. We were organized. We were Israel before our temple was destroyed. That's why every nation we've gone to, they've been blessed wherever we are. This is why Hitler even called us God's jewels. Hitler said America's going to be cursed because they're in possession of God's jewels. That's what he said. We are his jewels, and he's about ready to bring us home. You ever been mad at your child and you beat him, you whoop him, and you're mad for a couple of weeks, and then after a while you be like, that's my baby. I get my wife all the time. She get mad, and her daughter, she'd be over it in about a week or two and be back to spoiling her. It don't last. It don't last with you either. Guess what? It don't last with our father. She's about ready to bring us home, but there's some things we have to do back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. In order to remove the haughtiness and the stiff-neckedness, we got to begin to chastise ourselves and become humble. Become humble. And you don't have to hate these other nations. Let me go back to Nehemiah. King Artaxerxes helped Nehemiah to achieve what he was doing. Gave him papers, permits, and money. There are other nations and other people that the Most High will use to help you get what you need in this hour and to get things accomplished for him. That's why he said, follow peace with all men and holiness without. No man shall see the Most High. You need to understand that. I need you to understand on this Shabbat, outside of keeping the laws, and as you wake up, that you got to seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. The old you is dead. So now it's time to seek his face. Like, I want to know you. Moses, Musa said, show me your glory. These are the things that are important. This is what we need. Father, show me your glory. And he's not going to show me unless I begin to fast, pray, show him I'm hungry. Show him I need him. Show him I'm woke. Show me all there is to see. You know, the Most High laughed at the fallen angels. He told Enoch, because the fallen angels taught the women some of the secrets. If you read the book of Enoch, they taught men how to war and how to make metals and makeup. And Most High laughed like, I only showed them like an inkling of who I am and what I'm capable of and what I can do. He said, he ain't showed them nothing. That's why he said, eyes have not seen and ears have not heard the things that he has prepared for us. So you're not even close to knowing him or understanding him. But if you fall on your face, trust me, these dreams that you have at night will take you someplace. In the book of Job, he said that at night in our dreams, he sealeth up instruction. Our spirit goes places with him. As if you ain't drank a case of Schlitz malt liquor and smoked a joint before you went to sleep. If you pray, read your word in the spirit, Most High wants to speak to you, talk to you, show you things. You wake up a new man with a new vision, new direction. You got to trust him and seek him in this hour where we're waking up. Israel, what time is it? It's preparation time for the wilderness and then into the land. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. If you say you love him and you keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. 1 John 2:3-4. Patience of the saints. Here is the patience of the saints, the ones that keep the commandments. Revelations 14:12. And Revelations 22:14 tells us that one of my favorite scriptures as well that I'm going to close out with. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into that city. All praises to the Most High. Here's what time it is that there's no more time for distraction. Prophetically, he's going to begin to reveal where we are and what we need to do as he's prepping us for the kingdom. What time it is? We're waking up in our captivity and we're giving him praise. And we're seeking his face. That time for them in Psalms 83, making Israel a name no more, making us disappear, it's coming to an end. That's over. Israel had found out who they are and they scared to death. They figure there's still nothing they can do, but they know the Most High, our power, is coming to fight for us, and that a Messiah, a black Messiah, according to Revelations, the first chapter, is coming to level the playing field. Will you be ready when he comes? This is your brother Vitor Ra, getting ready to sign out on Blueprint for Life, saying that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Because truth is a journey, not a destination. Keep the Sabbath. Read Nehemiah 13:15 on through. Nehemiah 10:31. And understand what was taking place there. Restoring order. Building the walls. Coming back to the commandments. Stand fast, Israel. Don't play with this and don't get impatient. Don't lose faith. Be steadfast, unmovable. And like we talked about last week, remain vigilant and sober until the king comes. Long live the king. Quam Yasha'Allah. Shabbat Shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. And shirt.
With you.